Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett, and tonight we're talking late week pickups and our Captain's Lounge. And to help me do that is I sort of bought him the Palmer that I lost the bet to earlier in the week. But welcome to you, Stevie Fizz.
Number eight. Jono, it was magical tasting the sweet victory in the form of a chicken parma. Welcome to the listeners, but I'm going to throw out a strample, Jono.
Oh yeah, I've got one lined up as well, but you go for it.
Going to throw out a strample. We haven't thrown out many stramplings lately. I'm going to strample life. doesn't it seem like? You've got, like, finances, right? You've got your finances sorted out. You've got your credit card paid off. Your bills are taken care of. You've started to make a little bit of inroads. You're getting a little bit in the black. I know Statesman's sitting over there laughing with his goddamn 27. He probably owns more property than the Queen, who he's just knocked off by the sounds of it. And then your rego comes, Jono.
Oh, the rego.
Doesn't anything screw you worse than the rego? $800
$700 this year.
It's like $790. Well, because you live in Cranbourne, they assume your car's going to be on cinder blocks by the end of the week.
Yeah, but I'm in a part of Cranbourne that no one knows about. Like, even my car insurance place can't even find me, so I'm laughing.
Yeah, well, I've tried to find your house and got lost a few times. So.
What's rego?
Registration.
Oh, sorry. I've had company cars for almost 20 years, gentlemen. Sorry,
Owns wineries, McMansions, everything. Doesn't pay rego.
You know what else?
You pay tax.
He probably cycles everywhere.
What's that?
I could see him in his little spandex outfit, bicycling up and down bloody Hobart.
Just riding through the Salamanca markets there. That's
it. Give me a Pinot and a wedge of Brie, you bastards. That's what he does. Don Statesman, my son, he make a nice Pinot for you.
And on that note, we do welcome to you, Statesman. How are you traveling, mate?
Very, very well. Absolute carnage at the selection table. And how important is the actual late week pickups going to be and the waiver wire over the next 4 or 5 weeks leading into bye time? It's very important that you get those waivers done right to make sure you get a few wins leading up to those buys, because that can be absolute carnage too. The next 5 to 6 weeks will make the decision of whether you're going to play finals or not, and it's how smart you play those waivers.
Well, in the Keeper League, I know I'm not playing finals, so I'm just enjoying the ride.
That.
But it was good to knock you off, so that's a bonus. That should be worth 8 wins, I reckon.
But what Statesman says is correct, and like during the week, on the show earlier in the week, we spoke about wavering for who's the Melbourne? Pedersen over Will Hoskin-Elliott. Now, we play buys in our league of record, Jono. There's every chance I would drop Will Hoskin-Elliott over the buys to get a win. Cam Pedersen's going to get through till the buys. I got no problems dropping him. It's not a problem. These guys are very cuttable. You got your core, and then you got your movable guys.
Well, that's right. A lot of people play out there. I like to stream a fifth forward and or defender, so it's just very interchangeable, and it gives you a lot more flexibility throughout those buy rounds as well.
You can really find some gold on that waiver wire through the buy, especially in the second week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyone wants, Josh Caddy's up for sale. I'll take 2 bottles of Pinot if either of you are interested in either the Keeper or the Listener League.
You've got him in the Keeper.
A bag of Doritos.
Do you have him in the Keeper?
I think I've got him in everything. I was that hot on him, but he has just never entered anywhere past that forward 50 mark.
We did want to do a trade on the air. We could do that.
Yes, I think we could.
Well, I don't know if you've seen the papers today or the internet news, Statesman, but Dim has hinted at more midfield time for Josh Caddy this week, especially as Dion Prestia is out with that hamstring injury. Just running through the teams quickly through this week. Steve Caniglio in for his first game this week for the Giants. Out goes Toby Green with suspension, Nick Haynes with a hammy, and Sam Reed. Out Mavuala in Nathan Wright for the Saints. No changes for the Adelaide Crows. Why would you? Out goes Steve's boy, Aaron Mullett, with a broken hand there.
For oh, no.
Oh. Jai Simpkin being married, managed. Jared Waite comes back in after that shoulder injury with Ryan Clark. The Pies taking on Carlton this week. You got DeGoey, Jack Ramsey, and the ghost Ben Reed all coming in for Broomhead, Shade, and Vaco, who's done that hammy for Carlton. Not saying Reece Palmer's name there at all, but I do see Sam Kerridge and Dale Thomas for Zach Fisher and Jack Silvani. In for the Power and West Coast. No change for the West Coast Eagles. In comes Boak. Out goes Amon. For the Dogs taking on Richmond on Saturday night, you've got Matthew Boyd coming in for Bailey Dale. For the Tigers, you've got Conker, Steve Morris, Nick Curvis, and Prestia all out. In comes Corey Ellis, Todd Elton, Anthony Miles, and Ruckman Ivan Soldo. So gets the nod there ahead of Marich. Moving on to the Gold Coast Suns and Geelong. Dangerfield will play with Menzel, Parsons, Stanley, and Thurlow all coming in for Menegola, who's just omitted. Parfitt, Zach Smith, and Tom Stewart. And for the Gold Coast Suns, in comes Colin Jasny, Stephen May, Brad Shear to make his debut, and Dave Swallow. Out goes Bose, Fiorini, Lonigan, and Matt Shaw. And for the Sunday games, we've got Sydney taking on the Lions. You've got the ins for Sydney so far. You've got Alia, Oliver, Florent, Foot, Marsh, Jared McVeigh makes his first game back, Sam Naismith, and Dean Towers, with Brandon Jack out with omitted. Jeremy Laidler, Achilles, Rowan, concussed, and James Rowe also admitted. In for the Lions, on the extended interchange, you've got Jake Barrett, Tommy Bell, Josh Clayton, Marco Paparone, Josh Walker, and out goes Beams with that quad, and Tommy Cutler. One game in, out with another hamstring, so if you've picked up Tommy Cutts off the waiver wire this week, you'd be pretty disappointed with yourself, wouldn't you, Steve?
Yeah, I'd only be sitting, what, third again?
God. And you got Melbourne taking on Hawthorn with Jesse Hogan named, Dean Kent, Billy Stretch, and Josh Wagner. Out goes Jake Melksham with Grant Birchall, Surioli, and Brendan Wycoss named on the extended interchange with no out of yet. And the last game, we got Fremantle playing Essendon with Subin, Sutcliffe, and Taberner all named with no outs. And to the Bombers, you got Francis, Michael Hartley, James Kelly, Lewenberger, Kobe Much to make his debut, Dave Myers, Brent Stanton, and also James Stewart to make his debut with Tommy Bell Chambers, Mitch Brown, Andy McGrath, Ben McNeice, and Joe Watson all out. So a bit of carnage there, guys.
I did also waiver for Andrew McGrath, but I missed out, so... Eey.
Sucks to whoever got him.
He was your brother.
That's a shame.
That's a shame.
What was he doing on the waiver wire?
I dropped him...
After the Anzac game.
Yeah, I used him for the Anzac game, and I dropped him for someone else.
Pedersen?
No. That was the week before. Anyway, hey, look, we're a savage league.
We are. Very savage. Someone dropped Will Hoskinelli, and he got swooped up pretty quickly, and can't be caught napping there. But if you do like to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out at The Draft Doctors on Twitter or at Statesman33. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. We've got articles dropping all the time, and Steve dropping his dozen deals weekly. Check it out this week. It's a great read with some pretty interesting deals to be made this week. And also check us out on Facebook, The Draft Doctors there. But we are talking Captain's Lounge for this week, and when we do talk captains, we're not always talking danger or fife because not everyone can own them. But to kick us off is Steve. Fire away, pal.
Yeah, Joe, just off the top, if you've got Pendles, please do captain him against Carlton. He tends to go full ham there. But my number one captain is Dustin Martin against the Dogs. We were sort of auto-captaining Dusty early in the piece, but he hasn't scored a super coach ton for 3 weeks, would you believe it or not? But there's no better remedy for a midfielder than playing the Dogs. They tend to give it up to the mids pretty nicely. Last time he played the Dogs, he had 38 touches, tons in both form. Really good history with some big scores against the Dogs. I've got no problems captaining Dustin Martin.
And we also saw Bevo come out today saying, no, we ain't going to tag him. We're just going to be a team tag. So we've seen that work well for the Dogs. Not at all.
Yeah, yeah. I love Bevo's no tag policy. It just fills me with confidence, Jono. I just love him. He must have whoever. He just must captain the number one midfielder on the other team every week. It's bloody fantastic. And my next captain was going to be Brody Grundy, but Mason Cox has somehow retained his position. So I got two captains who are a bit risk it for the biscuit. And number one is Cade Simpson versus Collingwood. We know defenders has been scoring exceptionally well against Collingwood this year. Cade Simpson against Collingwood last year, 102 and 105 Dream Team and 122 and 128 Supercoach. Obviously last week had a monster with his 161 Dream Team and 148 Supercoach. So I really like that. I think he'll certainly find the ball, and Carlton got a pretty good record against Collingwood lately. They're certainly playing particularly tough. And the other risk it for the biscuit pick is Robbie Gray versus West Coast. And the reason it's risk it for the biscuit is because he's had a complete role change since years past. But look at these numbers against West Coast in the last three times they've played in Dream Team. 115, 134 and 111. And in Supercoach, 139, 143 and 118. Now, he has shown the ability to score big, even playing forward. He'll still get his runs through the middle, but man, if my guy has got a record like this where he just cuts a team to pieces, he's got the wheels inside, I'd tend to give him a little bit more run in there if I'm the coach. But yeah, bit risky.
Yeah, but he could come out and kick seven snags and only score you 102, but, you know, who knows?
Well, if that, Jono.
If that. Nah, like it. Good captain fix there. Statesman, who have you got there, Matt?
My number one captain is Dane Zorko, averaging 118 this year in fantasy and 107 with Supercoach. Scored 148 last time he played Sydney, and if we all remember, that's the old Sydney, the ones that were good, that actually gave you a bit of competition on a weekly basis. And now they're leaking points. I think they're the easiest team to score against, so he could go massive this week. Second up, I've actually gone for a Mr. Consistent in Matthew Prittis, heading for his fourth straight year of averaging over a ton in fantasy. And in Supercoach, would you believe it, he's going for his ninth straight year. Tunned up the last two times against Port Adelaide, and we certainly know the pressure they're putting on. It's a bit harder for the outside runners to get the points, but they still seem to be giving quite a few for the inside. So that's where Matt Prittis will keep scoring. He's safe as houses to pump you out a captain-worthy score this week again, as he nearly always does. And I can't believe this is my captain, Ruffy, this week. Lockie Neal. He should never be used in the captain,
Ruffy. How's
that risky? Look what he's been scoring. That's risky as.
You should never captain Lockie Neal.
Unless you play Melbourne.
But granted, he has started the season slowly, and hopefully he never gets mentioned in this category ever again. But hence the Captain Ruffy call. But he's back, playing in the midfield last week, and that's where he belongs, scored 114. If this is a sign of things to come, welcome back, great man Lockie, and worthwhile the trade for Sam Doherty, hopefully in the long term. And we'll welcome that lovely points scorer, the points per minute champion, the little god of the midfield, and put the big C back on him week in, week out. So that's my captain, Ruffy, Lockie Neal.
What did Lockie Neal score in fantasy this week?
114.
Okay, yeah, my Sam Doherty just went 160. That's fine.
No, 159.
Oh, well, what a play.
You were
like
playing
that.
Me. Trust me on you.
Moving on to my captains, captain of Geelong, Joel Selwood, loves playing the Gold Coast Suns. He averages 113 in Dream Team with a top score of 137. And in Supercoach, he just averages a lazy 123 throughout the time he's played with a top score of 154. I am an owner of Joel Selwood in our League of Records, and that C has been firmly planted on him for this week. My next guy is...
Did you double-check that there wasn't a trade for Levi Greenwood to Gold Coast this week?
I have made sure of that. I've rung Rocket Ead on the back phone and said, no Levi Greenwood, please.
Barlow can tag, can't he?
Yeah,
deep, just deep forward. Deep forward. I've heard deep forward. Not leaving that goal square. My next guy is Rory Sloane. This guy is absolutely having a fantasy year to behold. Averaging 119 in Supercoach against North Melbourne with a top score of 180, fellas. That's a massive score. Only the 97 average in Dream Team against the Roos, but has gone a 145 against the Roos before. Not tagging Roos. As much. Pardon?
Roos? Suns, mate. Suns.
Okay. Rory Sloane's playing North Melbourne.
Oh, week, Rory Sloane. Sorry, I thought you were saying Joel Selwood.
No. Moved on from that one.
And can I just make the point? Can I congratulate Jono for helping our listeners, for advising them to pick the number one scorer in the competition to put the big C on?
Hey, look, when I think of Jono, I think of a big C.
I can only pick up players in my out of the teams I look after, mate, and Rory Sloane was the best option. But my captain, Risky, co-captain of Melbourne, sorry, not North Melbourne, Nathan Jones. He's averaging 85 in both formats against the Hawks, but as we know, the Hawks do leak midfield points like a leaky sieve. And as you said, like Sydney Swans, they're not playing great footy at the moment. As we saw St Kilda last week, absolutely destroyed in the midfield. His average in Supercoach in his last four games for Nathan Jones is 114 and 108 in Dream Team for old new nut there, Nathan Jones. So if you've got a big set of kahunas, chuck it on Nathan Jones.
That's pretty big, my man. That is pretty big. I'm surprised Rory Sloane wasn't your risky pick, actually, to be honest.
I thought about it. I mean, a 97 average, I mean, whew.
That's risky.
That's risky. But hey, if you do like the show, you can do that by checking us out on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. If you really love it, hit the subscribe button, and please do leave us a review. It really helps our brand and get us out there to get more listeners so we can bring you more content. Not so much as a review this week, but we had a bit of a props to us on Twitter this week from Wanchorm, number 8. He goes, I'm 6-0 in a 12-team draft after winning last year. He won 12 slabs of beers there for winning the league last year. How good's that? I want in.
That's decent.
Very decent. He goes, I'm sitting pretty because of learning tears and about the podcast. Thanks to the Draft Doctors. So thank you very much for that, Wanchorm. We really appreciate it, and we're glad you did learn the tears. And do check out the website as well, thedraftdoctors.com.au.
Was there a number 8 in his name, Joe, in his Twitter handle?
88.
No, it all comes back. Hey, look, if you want to,
it's a very lucky number.
If you want to kick us one of those slabs, we'd accept it. Maybe not Statesman because he likes the wine, but.
Anything full-strength alcohol, we'll take.
Yeah.
But moving on now to our late-week pickups where you might be looking for that fifth forward or fifth defender, someone to stream to get you over the win. And to kick us off with that is Steve. Who have you got?
I got one of our waiver pickups kicking us off. I just had to go pick him up myself because Tommy Cutler's a squib. And that's Jimmy Webster from St Kilda. Been pretty good two of the last 3 weeks at playing the Gold Coast, the GWS Giants this week. We know defenders can score well against GWS. I certainly think Jimmy could be in line for an 80-plus day, which is what I'm looking for when I'm picking these guys up. Forward I don't mind this week, Toby McLean against the Tigers, Jono, one of your boys. I just think the Tigers can be a little bit susceptible to the smaller forward. I think Toby's pretty handy and might be someone I'm looking to roll through if I was really struggling for a forward option. I don't think there's a lot of great forward matchups for waiver pickups this week, except for this guy, Matt Leuenberger. If you can find Matt Leuenberger, I've just found Matt Leuenberger. Three of the last four games in Western Australia, they're super coach tons, believe it or not. He has a really good record against Fremantle, ruck forward. He's a really handy pickup. I'm certainly rolling him out this week. And if you need a midfielder, give Anthony Miles a bash against the Dogs. We know he's back in. He might be available on all the waiver wires. Probably wasn't at the start of the year, but he's shown the ability to score 80-plus at any time. Certainly we know midfielders against the Dogs can score pretty handily, and he's certainly worth picking up. He's better than the pool.
Is Anthony Myers back in? Miles back in?
Yep.
Yes, he is, because Presti is out with the hammy.
And therefore, no midfield minutes for Caddy. It's all a ruse. They've been saying it since the day that they picked him up.
He doesn't seem happy about that, Trono.
He doesn't. Why'd you mention Anthony Miles? He was all happy about Caddy, and then he would have played him, scored a 28.
You know what?
Whoever played him would have had a win.
You know what you need is some tequila, because you got your salt. Your face looks like you've just bitten into a lemon. You've got one thing missing.
Is that all for you, mate?
That's all for me.
And when we do talk about the late week pickups, we use our 65% rule just so that gives everyone a fighting chance to get these late week pickups. Statesman, who have you got there, mate?
I've been telling the listeners this about this week, so I'm going to say it nice and clear. If your name's Lockie and you play for Fremantle, put him in your team. Lockie Weller is still under 65%. Wow. He's just added defender. Here is a man, with exception to one game, and it was because he filled a different role, but he is their halfback flanker, and he has not scored under 80 for the past 4 weeks, just rolling them out. Now, if you can find a defender on the waiver wire and it can sit there at your D4 or D5 and pumps you out 80 each week, that's absolute gold. If your name's Lockie and you play for Fremantle, get him on your team. You won't find Lockie Neal. He's all in mine. But Lockie Weller is. Secondly,
I will say this about Lockie Weller. He hasn't been as good for Supercoach.
And I think that'll correct itself. I think the longer he plays that role, the more intercept marks he'll take. His disposal's very good. But what he is, he's that they're using him out of defence. So they're actually giving him the uncontested possessions. That's probably why the super coach comes in. The more he learns about the role, the more he's going to start taking intercept marks. And that'll pick up. Keeping my love for Lockies going, next up is Lockie Plowman. And this is working off the Steve history. Back in a defender, Collingwood, and this man should rack up the plus sixes this week, owned by only 49%. So that's Collingwood. And last but not least, Clay Beams on the Simpson theory after the Simpson and Doherty ran riot over the Swans. Pick up a Brisbane defender this week because they're playing Sydney. Clay, a.k.a. the Healthy Beam, is owned by 65% and averaging 79.3. Get on him this week.
Yeah, thank you very much, Statesman. You've taken my thunder there. The top of my list was a Brisbane defender in Harris Andrews, only owned in 7% of leagues. I've got Ryan Harwood, he's 2% of leagues. If you can find him, Sammy Mays, Tommy Cutt, I did have, but he's not playing. Just any Brisbane defender is fine. Just go out and grab him. I've got the ghost of Ben Reid, only in 59% of teams. If he is coming in, could play forward, kick a few snags. Has been scoring pretty well in both formats, so I don't mind it. I was only rested, so no injury concerns there for him.
Yeah, Shade's been dropped, so he'll probably play back.
Play back, so
yeah.
Still get those marks down there, so that's fine. As we've said before as well, any GWS defenders as well, they've been scoring quite well. Nick Haynes with out with that injury. We have Himmelberg. Not sure if where he'll play, but he's playing his first game. You got Wilson, Kaur, all those players coming in. Small forwards. We've seen them score quite well against the Bombers, so any small forwards for Freo could get on the end of a few. We've seen Matty Tabner coming in, even though he's a bigger player, but he's quite capable of getting the ball to ground. And maybe Mickey Walters, if he's floating around there, Steve.
He's pretty lowly owned, and rightly so.
Averaging 40-odd.
Well, he could have one out of the bag this week. And
They floated some midfield time for him, so his score might actually reduce.
Yeah, Josh Caddy.
Anyone from Adelaide is fine as well if you can pick him up. I'm sure a McKay or a Douglas, if they're floating around, you can score you a good 70 or 80 as well. And for some reason, I've written Levi Casbolt down. He's only owned by 12% playing the Pies, but I have no reason why I wrote him down. But I don't know, maybe it's my gut feeling.
Mate, the Blues spoil Collingwood anniversary games like it's a prerequisite, and no one would hurt more.
I don't know.
No one would hurt more than Levi Casbolt kicking it back, but he's actually playing quite well, and his goal kicking is improved, helped by Collingwood legend Sav Rocker. Sorry, did I say Collingwood? I meant Philadelphia Eagles legend Sav Rocker.
Didn't Sav come from Sydney? Was that his brother?
That was his Anthony. Brother.
That's his brother.
Yeah. And that's all my late week pickups for this week. Steve, I believe we do have some questions this week.
Yeah, we have some questions this week, some great questions. You can always get into the questions thread for the midweek show on the Twitter and the Facebook. And I'll throw this one to you, Statesman, first off, because I know it beats close to your heart, because it's a keeper question. Who would you rather at this point in a trade, Christian Petracca or Callum Mills?
CP, and the reason why I say CP, I think he's more likely to keep his forward status than Mills is to keep his defender status long term.
Are you worried at all about Mills' scoring ability?
No, it's only his second year of footy.
Yeah, I understand that. It's just it seems like the way he's going to build his score is going to be through marks. And I would like, is he closer to an Andrew Mackey than maybe
Rory Laird?
If the idea is that he pushes into the midfield or halfback role, is he closer to an Andrew Mackey than, you know, a Jared McVeigh, who has had tons going into the midfield, or is he more of an 87 defender wing slash sort of player?
Yeah, a little bit unsure. Time will tell. Obviously, they rate him extremely high, but he's shown he's got the ability to score big already. He did that in his first year. And a lot of players don't do that. So I think he's got some unique abilities. It's funny we keep on saying Mills is going to be a midfielder, but you actually look through that midfield group and you add in now the Zach Jones, you add in now the Isaac Heaney. Parker's not old. Hanbury's only 26. They've actually got a long career through that area of the ground. So maybe he's one that rolls through the midfield but has a more permanent role at half back. So therefore, he actually becomes a little bit more valuable. So it's only perception that we're saying that he's going to be a long-term midfielder.
Well, that's why I had the comp to Mackey, because that's who he kind of reminds me of. Like, anyway, that's CP. Good call.
I think Mills gets contested footy though.
Not this year.
Which one player does?
I think he's shown that in his first year of footy.
Okay.
So I'd like to have a look at the Mackey contested possessions and the Mills contested possessions through the data files to actually see whether that's true or just the way we're looking at him right now.
Sure. Next question is from Brad from Twitter, and he asks, who is better forward bench cover right at the moment? Jono, one for you maybe, because I know you like Josh Jenkins. You ask Josh Jenkins or Josh Caddy.
For bench cover. Well, hopefully Brad's been listening to the show, and I think Caddy's just been getting an absolute pasting this show. But I like Jenkins. He's solid. More solid than Caddy, I think. At least with Jenkins, you know you're going to get at least a 60. Like all forwards do throughout the odd 40, but Caddy throws them out more often than not. But the way the Adelaide forward line's functioning at the moment, everyone's getting a piece of that pie, so I like Jenkins.
Yeah, actually answered the other way. I think they both have merit, though.
But they do have both have merit, yeah.
Because I think Jenkins is great in matchups.
Like I wish I had merit.
Merit?
Of the Zach variety.
What? Where'd you come
I
from
said,
on
I
that?
I wish I had merit.
There's no merit here. Merit. There's no merit. Oh. Jesus. Christ,
you have to explain your gags. They're not good enough.
How is the open mic scene down in Tassie, buddy? Yeah. But I think, you know, if you think Caddy can turn it around, he's certainly got maybe the higher value. But anyway, Ren on Facebook asks, is Kane Lambert a decent forward option? Can rack it up when he's not in a defensive role. What's his role looking like for the rest of the year, Statesman?
Yeah, it's such a tough one. I've been excited about Lambert a few times, and if you look through his scoring, he gets these little runs and then his role changes. I just cannot confirm that he's going to get that free running role. If he does, he'll score well for you, but I can't guarantee that's going to happen because I've got excited by him, as I've said, two or three times before, and it hasn't panned out.
I mean, he's always going to be behind Rioli for a freer role, isn't he? Now,
correct. And you also look at those players like Costanza and all that coming through and probably going ahead of him in those and that small forward role as well.
Yeah, I mean, if you can pick the scores that he's going to... Because he can score well, obviously, we've seen that.
Oh, for sure.
But, I mean, those games are going to be... I couldn't good predict them, I'll put it that way.
But he did he's look another... pretty good running off the back line the last couple of weeks as well.
And he's just another one that seems to get a bit of midfield time ahead of Caddy.
Don't they all? Don't they all?
I'm just going to go find me my salt shakers and just send them on down. Is that it for the questions, mate?
Yep.
All right. That wraps up the show for this week. If you do...
I just think, gentlemen, quickly, before we wrap up, we should run through the positional changes that were announced on Wednesday through Ultimate Footy. I think one doesn't really have any relevance, being Blake Hardwick, who added defender status, Hawthorne. I don't know how much game time or scoring potential he's really got. But the rest of them are probably the waiver wire, emergency or bench players in most leagues. And I think they've all got some form of relevance. And the more dual position players you actually have, the more freedom you've got through the bye weeks in trying to get enough players on the field, and also through this little run of suspensions and injuries that we're all going to hit for the next 5 to 6 weeks. So Crozier, who was a defender for Fremantle, added the forward status. Will Hoskin-Elliott added centre. George Hewitt for Sydney Swans added centre to his forward status. Andy Otten, who's been performing really well both as a defender and as a forward, has now got them both, so it gives you great flexibility. Lockie Weller. Lockie plays for Frio. Get him in. He's a forward and defender right now. And Travis Collier, on his day, he is scoring big. So adding a C to his forward status could be hugely helpful for that huge importance rounds 11 and 13, seeing he's got the 12 bye.
But it's all fake news because The Age runs the Ultimate Footy. Fairfax is in trouble. It's going to shut up, so we might have to move our game somewhere else.
Oh, okay. Can I get rid of Caddy before we move to the other platform?
No, we've got to roll our teams over. That's how it works.
Actually, I think you can just all start. Everyone can start again, but we have Big Cox gets Revolt. You get Caddy.
Yeah,
Done.
I don't agree to that one.
All right, that wraps up the show for this week. If you do want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. Check us out on the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au, or check us out on Facebook. Just search The Draft Doctors there. Thank you very much for listening. Good luck in your leagues this week, and we will see you on Monday.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.